staying awake and dancing, tuning in on you. If I was young, it did something.
KDXQ News Time. It is 9:07. What's up, guys? It's Dale Desmond. All right, we got in studio for his monthly visit. We've got Mayor Chris Staley from Washington City. Mayor, welcome. How are you?
Doing well. Good morning, Dale. Good morning, everyone.
Good. This song's taking a couple seconds to establish, but there it is. There we go. We're not letting video kill the radio star. We're not letting that happen. Mayor Chris Staley from Washington City in studio for my first visit with you as a new host. So just right off the top, we've been talking about this the new show as Andy is off into retirement, and I told him, I was like, Andy, I don't want to bug you as much as possible. And the first thing was funny. Monday he was visiting some family. Monday, I actually had to call him. I had some questions about the show, and it was about 11 o'clock, and he said, I just got up.
Oh, my goodness. So Andy is not listening this morning.
I hope he's playing pickleball. I hope he's listening to Video Killed the Radio Star. Or retirement, or whatever.
You know, I remember that music video. It's a good one.
Yeah, back in the day. Exactly. So, the other night I came up, I was middle of the night. I woke up and I came up with a name in my weird brain. We want to call the new show and tell me what your vote. And if you hate it, please say so. Called Southern U Talk.
Oh, I like it.
Southern,
yeah. Clever.
I want you, if you think it's dumb, you don't get it. I want to know now because it's going to be, you know, if we stick with it, we got to own it. Southern U Talk with Dale Desmond.
Yeah, so like the very end of it caught me. I'm like, okay, Southern U, and then I thought it was going to be some long thing, and then it's
nope.
Talk.
Southern,
I like it.
Southern U Talk with Dale Desmond. That's it. All right, so everybody can chime in on that. The new text line, 435-261-4540. You can text in your thoughts, your questions. We're going to open the phones in the second segment here. If you have questions, you want to call in and chat with Mayor Staley from Washington City. Let's jump into this. You've got City Council. You got some projects approved. I'm excited for what's going on. Talk about that. What you're excited about?
Yeah. So the word that I've kind of been using all of 2025 is that we have great momentum in Washington City, and mm-hmm. So just last night, prior to our workshop meeting that started at 4 o'clock, I was on the Green Spring exit, cutting the ribbon for the brand new Residence Inn by Marriott.
Heck yeah.
And it just turned out wonderful. It's kind of a sister hotel to the Spring Hill Suites there.
Yeah.
They share an amenity. It's right off of Green Spring Golf Course. Beautiful views of Pine Valley and just of kind of the Red Rocks. And it's just indicative of these, you know, for years, Washington didn't have these goods and services that our neighbors, we kind of relied on St. George. So to see the momentum of project after project being entitled and then built and then finished like this one last night, it was just really, really satisfying. You know, and then we head down to the workshop meeting and then into the regular meeting. We approved more projects that just improve quality of life for our community and add more goods and services.
Have you ever done a study, I'm sure the numbers are available somewhere, on how many people come by that on the road or on the highway right there?
Yeah, I mean, a traffic study would show that, but it's
millions.
And, you know, to your point, Dale, that's really why, and this is a separate topic that I'm probably not prepared to discuss
for
today,
sure,
but you talk
sure.
about Northern Corridor,
yeah,
because that does start to bottleneck, especially as you go through the cut in the mountain over
yep.
towards St. George.
Yeah.
So, yeah, big time traffic. It makes all three of our Washington I-15
yeah.
corridor exit, it's really attractive, you know, from that exit 10 or Green Spring over to the new 12 or Main Street and then 13, which is Washington Parkway. And all of those exits or interchanges have great projects coming up out of the ground.
Yeah, going vertical, as they say. He's Mayor Chris Staley. You can always text in your thoughts, your questions for him throughout the show. The new text line, 435-261-4540. We got the new hotel coming out. What else we have that you're super excited about?
Yeah, so last night, and just kind of specifically sticking to what's currently on my mind, is one of the questions I've been getting the most lately is, Mayor, when are we getting a light at Washington Fields Road and Lost Ridge or Merrill?
Yeah.
And so I'm really happy to announce that the council awarded the bid for that traffic signal last night. You know, it's met warrants. We've just tried to get the funding for it. The price tag came in a little under $300,000, which was less than engineer's estimate. So we're waiting on some parts from we work through UDOT on those, and then there's about a 75-day lead time. But going into spring and certainly by summer, we'll have that. So that was approved last night, and then also ironically, another hotel. It's a combined Hampton Inn and Home 2 Suites approved. With a conditional use permit at Washington Gateway, which is north side of exit 13. So, and that's kind of the first one that might go vertical where the hospital was going to go, but now it looks like it's going to be retail and service.
They're on the exit there.
Correct.
I'm curious, you know, do you have a vision when you drive around and you're, like you said, you're taking these different parts of Washington. You're like, gosh, it would be great. And you kind of see it in your mind, like this vision of, I can see it. Do you drive around and think that way? Or are you like, I'm letting other people handle that?
No, I mean, it's actually kind of a really one of those like privileges as a mayor to be so intimately involved with the puzzle pieces being put together. And, you know, Washington has always been known for these great residential neighborhoods, these great communities, from Coral Canyon to, you know, Buena Vista and Greenspring and then down into the fields and so forth and in between. But we've always been just a little bit lacking on those commercial areas. And so in order to be balanced, we were a little residential heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have the opportunity to place those pieces. There are some neighborhood commercial areas, throughout our municipal boundary, but primarily along the I-15 corridor. Those are important because it allows us to continue to fund for that quality of life. With, you know, economic development and public safety are just tied together, and we have to have that sales tax revenue in order to pay the blue and the red individuals who keep us safe.
Absolutely. Yeah. Those couple of things I want to jump into. What you probably get pushback, I imagine, from people that have been around and go, gosh, I think we're growing too fast.
Yeah.
Other people that are like, we gotta have a Trader Joe's tomorrow. We gotta have Sam's Club. We've gotta have, all these things. What is your idea? What is your vision of smart growth, of good growth as mayor?
So one thing I'm really fortunate to have is, a very, really good staff, first of all, right? And so as a council, I've got very experienced council members who understand land use, we're intimately aware of the general plan. We understand how that filters down through platting and subdivisions, and the individual products that are built out. But the collective vision of the mayor and council, the staff has grasped onto this. So when a new project comes forward, we are in step together. Then it comes through that entitlement process. The planning commission has its role, and then it gets to the council. But as I drive around, as the council drives around, we know what's coming.
Yeah.
And we have an idea. We've been very thoughtful and intentional on how do we maintain despite growth. And I've always said, we're not chasing growth. Growth is chasing us. But if we're planning it right the first time and being smart about it, then we're very strategic in how where we place and then how we feather or transition from one use to another. And then that's what I really like about municipal government is, as opposed to, state, maybe a little bit in federal, you see the fruits of your labor, especially in terms of this is a project that now has come in, or a subdivision or a park or a trail. And this really benefits the community. And that, to me, is what's satisfying about public service on the municipal level.
Right. And so you talked about funding, making sure that the red and the blue are funded, that our public safety are funded. I was just reading a story this morning about how the Washington City, the story's right here somewhere, the fire department saved this house by quick, it was just the other day, the bedroom fire on 1100 East Washington Fields Road. The candle got started and quick response saved the house. Talk about how proud you must be of Washington City in particular in their in your public safety.
So it's a little.
You should see, guys. You should see his smile. By the way, you guys, you can see it from Bluff Street. If you look up here, you can see Mayor Staley's. You're like talking about your kids.
Well, you know, I am proud, and what where my thoughts go, and this is a little just random here is. First of all, I know that my firefighters, the last thing they want is recognition.
Yeah.
But when you talk about saving this house from a fire, I think about to a ride along. I was with our battalion chief a few months ago, and there was a 911 call, and a girl was unresponsive, pulled out of a pool. And our fire and police responded quickly and saved her life.
And you got to watch it.
And I got to hear it on the radio.
Okay, were you in the truck?
So my battalion chief, we were on a different ride along.
Oh, I see.
And
we
heard the other public safety from both fire and police responding. And then I can't get my firefighters to come in and be publicly recognized.
Yeah.
But in this particular case, one of our council members organized like the fire department to give her an escort home from the hospital.
What?
After she had fully recovered.
Come on.
And that's why we continue to prioritize public safety.
Yeah.
Think about this. Well over 80% of our general fund budget goes towards police and fire. And we've got to have those response times because honestly, life is on the line. So yeah, we want to save property. But when it comes to a little girl's life and CPR is administered, life-saving efforts, that's what's really cool.
That's so cool. He's like a proud father in here. What's interesting is that I think, and maybe you go through this, I know as parents, and I've noticed that when you have kids going through problems, moms own that, right? Moms will be like, oh, I'm a terrible mom. When dads see their kids having problems, they go, kid's an idiot. I did everything I could. Do you find yourself kind of pulled back? You know, you're like, hey, you take on if your public safety's having a problem or public works or some different department is struggling. Do you go, gosh, if I was only a better mayor, I could just help this. Or do you find you get good support staff?
Well, it's kind of like with children, and my children at my house is you love them all the same.
Yeah.
But there are times when one child or one department needs more
for sure
than another. And and if we're using this analogy of a city like a family, we are a young old city. So we are this young couple. Growing, trying to make ends meet.
Yeah.
And there are always more funding needs than resources able to provide. And so, keeping with public works and with public safety, we continually ask our guys and our staff members to do more with less.
Yeah.
And sometimes they get stretched. And I keep telling them, hang with us.
Mm-hmm.
As retail revenue comes in, as these other revenue sources come in, we're going to be able to hire more and get you more help. But our staff buys into just like we do whatever it takes to make it happen. And sometimes that means doing more with less. I'll give you just an example. And we love our neighbors in St. George, that they're three times our size in population.
Yep.
But their general fund revenue, because they're established with the sales tax and revenue, they're five times our budget.
Right.
So while we work hard to, competitively, especially with wages and things, we're right in line there, close. We just don't have overstaffing. But what we do have, and this is critical, we have this great culture.
Yeah.
And it starts with our police chief, our fire chief, our public works director, city manager, and council. And so there's this culture of, hey, we're getting it done.
Yeah.
And it's an exciting time to be part of it.
He's Mayor Chris Staley in studio with us for his monthly visit. You were talking about culture. What is it about Washington City that makes it the parade city of America? Like I swear, it's like we've got a parade for Leaf Day. We've got a parade for Spare Tire Day. I don't know, whatever. How did that get started? How do you know? I mean, what makes Washington City so proud to do parades?
Well, it's just the charm of it. I was at Christmas in Dixie recently. We had the tree lighting. Yeah. And incidentally, Dale, we did not have a parade on that event.
We could have.
But I remember just mentioning to my wife and those we were kind of there together with, I said, it kind of feels like a Hallmark movie tonight.
You're right.
You know, I mean, so that's kind of the brilliance of Washington, is that we've been able to maintain that charm and that small town feel despite having been discovered and growing.
Right.
And despite people calling us St. George all the time, even though our name is Washington, we just smile and acknowledge it. But the short answer on the parades is tractors.
I mean, come on. We like getting out there with the old guys and the tractors and the go-karts and the candy and all that.
And then really just the Americana. Mm-hmm. There are just some really good old-time residents that have been there for generations before me. Some my relatives, some dear friends. And, you know, Veterans Day comes to mind. And we are proud Americans in Washington. We're unabashedly named after George Washington, for crying out loud. So Veterans Day is one of those things. Independence Day. Pioneer Day. We're not afraid to embrace our roots and kind of our small town feel. And so we have a really good parade route, and my recorder loads us up with tons of candy and people sign up and here we go. But it's always a good time, and I'm always surprised. I shouldn't be, but I'm always surprised with the numbers who show up.
Absolutely. You talked about how there's some confusion, you know, or people call you St. George, but you're really Washington. Who drew the boundary between St. George and Washington? I mean, it is like, it's like a checkerboard sometimes. So like, I think it's St. George. Have you ever thought about let's go, you know, write down, you know, 2450 or write down or whatever. How did the boundaries ever get decided, and how do they continue to get decided?
So there is a long history of property owners and city motivation to take on, you know, services that come with county property being annexed into a municipal boundary. And historically, St. George was a little more able with resources and willing to take those on. So some of those Pineview neighborhoods maybe historically would have been more naturally into Washington, but ended up in St. George. But even as recently as months ago, I reached out to Mayor Randall. Mm-hmm. We brought some of our staff and a few council members, and we discussed a few of the just kind of lingering annexation boundary. And what we were able to do is kind of line up and clarify a boundary along a straighter line along Red Cliffs, near the Red Cliffs Temple.
Yep.
And we actually just signed a resolution kind of memorializing that conversation at our meeting last night. We also defined a little more clearly some of the area down towards, you know, south of the airport, down towards the Arizona border. So it's not as clean of a line as we would like.
Yeah.
But it's pretty much done at this point.
All right.
And honestly.
And that's, it is what it is.
We're Southern Utah together. And really, I'm totally fine if people don't know where one city ends and the other begins.
I moved here from Idaho Falls about 8 years ago. And there is a ton of similarities between Southern Utah and East Idaho. If anybody's ever done it, you've got the college town, the old college town, Pocatello and Cedar City. They kind of have an inferiority complex to the bigger city that had the temples. Sooner, now they both have their own. But then there's also Idaho Falls and Ammon, and then there's St. George and Washington. Where are you? Like, are we even in? Where are we at? I don't know where it's at. But do you correct people when they say, "Oh, you're the mayor of St. George," or or you're from St. George and I'm from Washington City.
Yeah. So like, I don't have a hard fast rule, but if it's necessary, I do.
Depending
but
on
I
what
do
it is.
Encourage, you know, businesses and residents to use the proper term of where they live. I'll tell you the one place that I absolutely always correct it is in my council meetings.
Okay.
But I get it. Washington can be confusing. There's the county, mm-hmm. there's the state, and really St. George is a city, but also many people just refer to the region as St. George. And frankly, you know, it's a compliment. We are friends and neighbors in St. George. We love them too. So it's certainly a compliment. And Washington, however, we are coming into our own, and there is a uniqueness and a value about us that I, as mayor, have the duty to emphasize and promote.
Awesome. We got some text coming in. We'll get to in the next segment. We'll have you think about some of these. And I would love to get some of your feedback. Plus, we'll open the phones up. You can take some calls. Mayor Chris Staley from Washington City in studio for his monthly visit. Hang on. We'll be right back. KDXU News Time, 9:30. We got Mayor Chris Staley in the studio with us this morning doing his monthly visit. Now, we've covered a lot so far in the first segment. Let's open the phones up. Oh, lines are open, 673-5890, 673-5890. You been to any concerts recently?
The last one I went to was Coldplay. It was awesome.
Okay. It wasn't in Boston, was it?
No, but okay. I mean, that would be epic to go. Favorite city, favorite band, right, that would be great.
All right, he is Mayor Chris Staley. We got some texts coming in. You guys can text us at the new text line. You want to program it into your phone, 261-4540, 435-261-4540. I got a text from... trying to see if it has a name in here. It's probably up here farther. Mayor, a lot of us starting to feel like Washington is turning into Biff's pleasure paradise from Back to the Future 2. Remember, that's when everything gets messed up and Biff's in control of everything and it's pandemonium. But Washington's not like that. He says brand new luxury towers with the older parts of town crumbling. What's your plan to stop that and fix the neighborhoods that built this city?
That is a clever text, and man, I got to go back and watch Back to the Future.
It's part two.
Okay.
When Marty McFly climbs into what he thinks is his bedroom, but somebody else lives there because his mom is married to Biff. The thing came out like 30 years ago. If you haven't seen it by now, I'm not spoiling anything. So, what do you think about this?
There's some threads of truth to that.
Yeah.
But again, you know, as municipal government, we respond to property owners and we respond to markets. So here's something that I'll go back to conceptually I say often.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think I've already said it today. We are a young, old city. You know, Washington settled 1857, didn't get our first platted subdivision until about 1975. Up near what is now the community center. Now we're kind of on this exponential growth. Mm-hmm. We're not chasing it. It's chasing us.
Right. We talked about that. Yeah.
But what I want to pivot to on this is we do care about all of those neighborhoods. I remember the Washington of my childhood and it was quaint and you could play in the street and ride your bike.
Right,
and
yeah.
There was just, and obviously now we are feeling these growing pains and there are these established really good core neighborhoods. And now we're seeing finally new commerce coming and we need those. And let me tell you a couple of reasons why.
Yeah.
I talked about over 80% of our general fund budget going to police and fire, public safety. Another large portion of that is going towards road maintenance. Like we spend an hour on how do we maintain pavement. I know it's exciting. We spent an hour on that on our workshop meeting last night. And so some of these more established neighborhoods have roads that are older.
Yeah.
Now, we had a company, an engineering firm, do a survey. 71% of our roads are in good or satisfactory condition. 21% are in fair, and then the balance needs a little bit more work. So the state allocates B and C road funds. It's a small tax from your gas tax.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We don't know about those electric vehicles and why they're not paying their share, but that's a conversation for another day. But like a lot of things, the state doesn't quite give us enough B and C road funds to maintain our roads. And when you have well-maintained, clean roads, clean streets, parks, sidewalks, those kind of things, the neighborhoods stay elevated along with the pride of ownership for those who live there. But again, I have to play the card of economic development because otherwise I can't fund to maintain quality of life for the residential neighborhoods, whether they're, you know, existing for generations or these new neighborhoods that are coming on board.
Yeah. When he says those parts of town continue to crumble, my thought is that on the homeowners? The homeowners, even if it's renters in there, you know, the homeowners to make sure that they're doing their part on that as well.
There's no doubt. And let me just add on to that topic, too. If you've been paying attention over the last 4 years, along Telegraph, it is slowly transforming. So there would be what I would call some blighted areas. Mm-hmm. There have been some vacant lots with weeds. But if you're paying attention and you could like do a time lapse photo of this, it is turning over. And especially with, we are very intentional, especially on Main and Telegraph, of turning that over and turning that into something that we can all be proud of and something that captures our roots. Cause we're not trying to leave behind anybody. I mean, I've been there for I've been there all my life. Your family's been there for four generations. Yep. We're not wanting to leave anyone behind.
Yeah. I got another text that says, can you ask the mayor about, it's the one you're probably getting everywhere you go. You're hearing about it. It's not Trader Joe's. It's Sam's Club.
Yeah.
Can you ask the mayor about Sam's Club if any dealerships have committed to Sienna Hills Complex?
Yeah. So I can't share any information about new dealerships at Sienna Hills. But I know the Findlay Hyundai is doing really well. Yep. And I know and I can tell you this. The Findlay Group.
Yep.
Has purchased additional ground there.
Okay.
But I'm not at liberty to talk about new brands at this time.
Because who knows what'll happen, right? I mean, you could say, oh, I know, I'm breaking news, something's happening, and then they go, you know what, we're gonna stay over on the saving side of the freeway.
Right. And so this Sienna Hills Auto Mall, though, it's awesome.
Yeah.
And those will fill up, and they will be a real benefit to the area. As far as the big box retailer, again, I won't publicly say the name, but you've said it on air. I know that word kind of got out. I think in part of their entitlement process, there was a page that showed a sign with that name on it. I won't say it. What I would say is that they do have a certain level of entitlement.
Mm-hmm.
There's still a process for that to go, and I'm hopeful that that process would be finalized towards the summer, and then we'll see where that goes.
Certainly,
because we want a Costco over there,
and then
St. George just did things that we could never match. And obviously Costco wanted to be on exit 2, so it creates a really nice place for another big box competitor retail to be on the saving side of the county, which is Washington.
It was funny when I was with, it used to be Cherry Creek, now it's Town Square Media here, and I filled in some time here on KDXU back when Mike McGarry was here. I remember we had Mayor Pike on one day, and I said, what do I have to do to get a Winco here? I just need a Winco. And he's like, well, you can't go after them. You don't want to tick off your current grocers. You know, you said growth is chasing us. Is that what you?
Yeah. Primarily residential. We are a little bit chasing the commercial to pay for it.
Some of it. Right. And so they Winco's going on. And if I may be so bold, I don't love where it's going. Oh, by Boiler Park, right? Isn't that where it's going to go? And it's like a weird, on a slope. How is that going to work?
Yeah. So the site itself is not quite as sloped as you remember. So it's going to be on the east side of the boilers.
Yep.
And it works really well with the new alignment. Now, one thing that's cool about that too is the site plan actually shows two other relatively large retail service buildings on the perimeter, one on Main, one on Buena Vista, and then on the west side of the boilers along Buena Vista Boulevard, they are building in pads. In fact, another thing that was approved last night was a Dabs. And so we'll have a new Dabs store, and that will provide kind of a more central location, and that will help with sales tax revenue to the city, but it will also provide for a lot of those alcoholic beverages to, restaurants and other institutional outlets.
I shouldn't complain. That's looking a gift horse in the mouth, isn't it? When you're like, I want a Winco so bad. And then you get one and you go, I don't like where it's at.
We like it when we can pull residents from other communities to shop in ours, which hasn't already happened. I remember sitting, and I think I've said this before on air, but I remember sitting across the street at one of our fire stations with Chief Evans. I turned the blinds to open them up, and I said, we're working on getting you $1 million per year view. Because that's the kind of sales tax revenue that helps us fund police and fire. Mm-hmm. And so, honestly, if it fits relatively close to within the zoning, we'll take it. You know, we're not hungry teenager eating anything in the fridge.
I love it. Do you have teenagers? You probably know. You have. How old are your kids? Talk about
youngest
your family real quick.
Youngest is 18.
Youngest is 18.
Three older than that, so a total of four. And but we're trying to adjust to being empty nesters, but they seem to come back on the weekends. We're like, hey, if you're going to go, just stay away, you know?
You have kids in college?
Yes.
Of it, where at?
So all of my children are in Utah County. My oldest is in PT school at Rocky Mountain in Provo.
Yeah.
My other works at UVU. She's applying to law school. My third daughter is in a master's of mental health counseling. And our youngest is, she's a freshman at BYU just trying to find her way to the Cannon Center.
So what's so funny is that I hear that a lot. Kids, you know, you plan your life. Well, when you turn 18 and you move out, blah, blah, blah. But then you find out, oh my gosh, you guys are home a lot. I can't keep food in the house.
Come on.
It's what I call run home Ronnie. A friend of mine used to had a buddy that would every weekend, he could never hang out with his buddies because his buddy named Ronnie would always go home for the weekend and not hang out with his buddies, and they called him Run Home Ronnie. And so whenever you have college students that are going home for the weekend, you think of that as somebody called Run Home Ronnie. Text line's still open. You can text in for any questions you have for Mayor Staley. 435-261-4540. Coming up in a couple of minutes, want to talk about, I DJ a lot of stuff on the weekends. Weddings, just different events in my sound system that I have. It's like my getaway from everything. You know, that's my therapy is watching people, you know, have a couple of drinks and get crazy. I was running some sound for a race. I saw a guy that looked just like you come across the finish line.
My doppelganger.
I tell you, we'll talk about that and give you a chance to give a shout out to some of your city staff. We'll come back. A couple minutes away, Mayor Chris Staley from Washington City. Hang out. We'll be right back. KDXU News Time is 9:45. I'm Dale Desmond. We got our monthly visit with Chris Staley, Washington City Mayor. Got Bing Crosby here. You been Christmas shopping? You all done? Have you done it? Is the wifey taking care of it? How do you guys handle it?
We're on it. Our approach with our children, who incidentally still believe in Santa they want presents.
All right.
we say this, something you want, something to wear, and something to read.
Okay.
That's kind of how we go about it. But our kids, you know, it used to just be a book, and now it's like, hey, I want the C.S. Lewis series or whatever. They're kind of catching on to us.
Okay,
here.
So they go, right, if they're gonna take, instead of taking an inch, they take a mile.
Yeah, it's okay. You know, they're asking for more and, you know, hoping for a negotiation.
Yeah.
But what I'm most excited about with our Christmas shopping is Lynette and I, we are about to be grandparents.
Oh, how long? How much?
So our son and his cute wife, they are expecting a little boy. Due March 1st, but she's measuring a little large, so we're hoping February.
Okay.
And so we have coordinated with the other set of grandparents who are,
are
more experienced and more seasoned than us.
All right.
But we do have crib, a changing table, and rocker, you know, in the garage, you know, ready for Christmas morning. And I hope Noah and Abby are not listening right now.
Right. No, you just spoiled it.
Don't tell them, guys.
Spoiled Christmas. Do you guys do like an exchange? You do my kids do that. We have an app actually where you can actually go in. You pick a name and then you list all the things you want and then we choose names.
No, an app is great. I think
what's it called? I want to find it. I'll tell you.
Historically with the kids, they've just kind of drawn names old school, like paper out of a hat. But they kept getting the same ones, so I think Lynette this year just kind of assigned the kids' names so that it would change it up a little bit. So
yeah.
So yeah, and you know, it's cool when your kids are thoughtful because they don't have a lot of budget.
Yeah. Yeah, it's called Draw Names. This app is called Draw Names, and what you do is you load in there everybody in the drawing, and then you draw a name, and then you can actually go in for yourself, and I think it's you put in your budget, it's under $25 or whatever,
yeah.
and you can go in and put your wish list in there. And it's connected, I think, to Amazon. I don't think it's connected to Temu, which is too bad because it's been a lot there. But you can go in and list, here's all the stuff I want. And you can buy it right from there, or you can go try and shop around and find the same thing somewhere else. But it's called Draw Names. It's kind of cool.
That is cool.
It's kind of a cool thing. A couple weeks ago, I was running the sound at, I think it was the Snow Canyon Half Marathon.
Yes.
And they have a 5K and a 10K and a half marathon.
Yes.
And some guy looked just like you.
Oh, man.
Came right across.
Stumbling through.
The finish line looking sharp and fresh as a daisy. What were you running?
The half.
Half marathon. How many have you run? Have you kept track?
I haven't kept track, but I used to run marathons all the time, and I'm realizing that halves are half the training and twice the fun.
Oh,
so I've turned from a full marathon to a half marathon guy.
Lance Armstrong once said, and he did all the tours to France, you know, we can debate about whether or not he was doped up. He said he ran a marathon later on, and he said running a marathon was the hardest thing I've ever done.
And he ran it hard. I mean,
How many marathons have you ran?
I've probably ran 20 or so.
Okay.
Primarily the St. George Marathon. I'm close to 20 on St. George, and then I've had some really fun international marathons. Okay. And
what's your best time at a marathon?
My best time was just barely over 3 hours in St. George, and I ran it within 1 second of the other 2 years back to back. The second year, it was just raining cats and dogs, and my shoes probably weighed 20 pounds. That was my year to break three, and then I just said, I'm not going to
do it.
So
I don't know if it's the rain or my legs actually feel like they're made of lead. Now, when you're out running and you do have a training and you spend some time training, and now if your kids are moved out, then you got lots more time.
Yeah.
Is that a great time to be thinking and get in touch with the city, right?
So it's like, for me, it's just run therapy. Yeah. And, back in the day, I didn't like to run over the winter when it was dark and cold. But over the last few years, I guess since I've been mayor, I'm kind of embracing that even more.
Yeah.
Like I used to kind of be a fair weather trainer and just kind of rely on my fitness to carry on through the winter. But I'm finding some of my most enjoyable runs are on those early dark and cold mornings.
Yeah.
And I just find something about that, the challenge of it. And then you never want to get up and go.
I'm glad you said that because
nobody wants to. But I always tell people this. You talked about the finish of the Snow Canyon, which is a beautiful race, a beautiful course. But I always say it's not the last step that's the hardest. It's the first.
Yeah.
So getting the courage to get out the door or sign up and do the event. Dogtown Half coming up January 31st.
I'll be there for that
one.
I've already not signed up to run it. I'm running the sound for Dogtown. So I will be there and see you again.
And that one, it's going to be cold and there's uphill. It's not an easy course, but if you're up for it, it's very rewarding. But yeah, it's run therapy. And like, I don't know how it works. Something to do with the endorphins, but like my days just go better. Life just makes more sense. And I seem to kind of have time to just reconcile things that weigh, whether like city or work or personal. We all have those things that weigh. So that's where I find it. Where do you find it?
Endorphin wise?
And just like, where's your therapy? Where's your physical therapy to have my life make sense?
Yeah. We talked about it off air a little bit. I mowing the lawn is like I get my best thinking done either when this is so weird. Just like I said, with the name of the show, Southern U Talk, I came up with it in the middle of the night. A lot of my best thoughts come when I'm half asleep.
Yep.
But when I'm mowing the lawn or doing yard work, that's like, I get some good thinking done.
Just that repetitive.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Physical exertion.
Yeah. I'm lining up the wheels just right. I grew up in a farm town in Washington State. Well, I was born in New York. That's why I'm a big Bills fan.
You're a Washington guy.
I am. I grew up in Western New York, and then I moved to Washington State when I was just a teenager, and I grew up in this little farm town, and you learn, like, you've got to keep it straight. So that's kind of driving my little swather, also known as a Toro lawnmower. For a few more minutes, we're here with Mayor Chris Staley from Washington City. Talk about, now no mayor is ever successful without their an incredible staff. Talk about some of your staff, maybe recently, maybe, you know, longevity wise that really could use a shout out and doesn't obviously, you know, no disrespect to anybody else you don't mention. Yeah. You could spend all day talking about your people, but who's some people that you definitely go, they are above and beyond today or recently or over the course of their career?
Yeah. So let me just share two, if you don't mind. A year before I became the mayor, you know, we hired a new city manager, Jeremy Redd.
Yeah.
He came over from Blanding, and, you know, he has been everything we had hoped he would be and more. The relationship, that, like, we are in sync. You know, I'm kind of the visionary, uh-huh. the CEO leader of the city, but he's the guy that makes the punch list and then coordinates with our amazing departments and department heads and gets them done. So certainly Jeremy deserves a huge, huge shout out, along with, you know, city attorney, recorder, economic development director, legislative affairs officer, that kind of administrative staff. We work really well with the council. But the shout out I want to give is to Michelle Cumming.
Okay.
She's kind of a mid-level manager, but she has just been killing it with events from Veterans Day, Christmas in Dixie. We had the Pearl Harbor USS Utah Remembrance Day in our newly remodeled Heritage Hall, getting back to our roots. But she's just really putting her heart and soul into those community events. And, you know, we can grow with brick and mortar and we can grow with things, but what we never want to lose is that charm, that small town feel.
Yeah.
And Michelle is just really interfacing well with the public, with those committees, to make sure that we don't lose that thing, for lack of a better description,
yeah,
that makes us special and unique.
Yeah, it's the, what do they call it? In sports, they call it I can't think of it off the top of my head.
French would say je ne sais quoi.
Exactly. It sounds like it's what the French would call les incompétents from Home Alone. A few more minutes with Mayor Chris Staley. So we're going into 2026. Next time we talk, it'll be next year.
Yeah.
Let's fast forward a month to our next discussion.
Yeah.
Where do you see, what are you excited about in the next month? And then,
yeah,
what are you excited about in the next year before we sit down in December? Good Lord willing, we're both here.
Yeah.
What are you looking forward to in the next month and in the next year? What do you see things going for Washington City?
So next month will be Washington City PD's 20th birthday.
Okay.
So you talk about a young old city. Our PD is only 20 years old.
Right.
So January 1st will be 20 years. We're going to celebrate that. So that's what I'm excited about
next month. What are we thinking?
Haven't put it together yet, but I've reached out to a council member and I say, hey, could you lead up an ad hoc committee and do something to celebrate the PD's birthday? So that's the first thing that comes to mind for January. For next year, kind of next month and next year, we're working on a really cool plan for what we call Washington Dome. And it's a plan that will preserve open space, this really cool hillside, what we kind of call Washington Bench on the east side.
Yep.
But we've engaged with Avenue Consultants. They're going to bring back a plan next month that's going to show kind of the final results. But we're doing some asphalt trail around the dome and then natural, you know, dirt trails, a network of trails along the dome, which just kind of uses the natural landscape for active outdoor lifestyle for our residents and the greater Washington County community. So I'm excited for that. And then also, I keep pounding the drum on, we are going to get there on our downtown.
Okay.
We have assembled property. We're going to get that plan finished and we're going to make progress on that. So those are among my many priorities.
What's, what is something that you would say that is your, are you self-conscious about? What are the things that you're like, man, this is of all the, because we've talked for almost a full hour about all the great things about Washington City. What's the one thing you're like, man, here's the one thing we got to work on?
Well, I think the Biff's Pleasure Paradise thing is like, I mean, that's so witty and clever, but it really kind of is. I mean, how do you, and I've kind of prided myself on being able to bridge the gap from the past to the future.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a sense that residents are feeling like they're being left behind on some of those areas, that would absolutely be the thing that would keep me awake at night and have my most concern. So I'd invite that individual to reach out to me and give me some specifics because, with this position of public service, we're just really trying to not leave anyone behind, but do our best with the realities that we are an evolving community, and I can't change that. I'm just, I respond to a lot of the outside factors.
Right. It's going to, right. I always think of this like, I was managing our softball team once, and I remember thinking like, look, we can either just show up and figure it out, or somebody can be intentional about the lineup and making sure we have our strongest pieces and other pieces here and there. That's got to be going into that where you look, we want to be intentional with this. We don't want to stumble through this and be reactional.
Yeah, and I would just say here's like, we're driving this car, right? We're at the wheel. We're trying to do the best we can. But if there are blind spots, that's what I'm talking about. Where are my blind spots? What are we missing? And then we want to address it.
Yeah, you get through it. So Dogtown is going to be your next race.
January 31st.
Are you ever going to run a marathon again?
You know, I don't know.
As Lance Armstrong said, it's really hard.
It's the hardest thing I ever did. I would love to be like, we're going to go to, I want to run a marathon, but I also want to visit, fill in the blank, Paris or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's an excuse to go.
We've done that a few times, but Paris would be good. I have some friends doing Berlin.
Oh.
It is fun to do a marathon with a vacation, and I've talked about those in the past on the radio here.
Yeah. Do you feel like with those, the recovery time with everybody, you're like, I want to lay around now instead of go out and see stuff?
No. So like when we were with my cousins, we ran one in the Edinburgh Marathon in Scotland.
Yeah.
In like a gale force storm.
Oh man.
And then if you know my cousins, we did not let the grass grow under our feet very long. So we were in a car, touring the Highlands the next day. That was great for recovery.
I love that. He's Mayor Chris Daly. We'll see you next month, buddy.